Hey, Warren Buffett is a name you may have heard before because he is one of the absolute top wealthiest men, not just in America, but in the entire world. Warren Buffett. He has two rules for investment. Do you think it'd be pretty good to learn the two rules of Warren Buffett for investing your money? Sure. You ready? Rule number one, never lose money. That's rule number one. Never lose money. Ready for rule number two? Rule number two, Warren Buffett, don't ever forget rule number one. Those are Warren Buffett's two rules for investing. Never lose money and never forget rule number one. See, I believe that Warren Buffett is got some wisdom when it comes to that because he has realized that simplicity is actually pretty critical when it comes to making investments. And he really believes this. In fact, he's got this quote that I just love, and you can put Warren Buffett's quote up here. He says this, "There seems to be some perverse human characteristic that likes to make easy things difficult." It's like a human tendency that it's something that is simple makes it way complex. It's like this perverse human characteristic that we have. I want you to think for a second about something really simple. I want you to think about water for just a moment with me. In all of its beautiful perfection, covers 71% of the entire planet that we're on, scientists tell us. One of the most common substances. It's just everywhere. It's like, could anything be more simple than water? But let me give you a more complex definition of water. I want you to listen very, very closely. Water is a colorless, transparent, odorless liquid that forms the seas, lakes, rivers, and rain, and is the basis of the fluids of living organisms. It is vital for all known forms of life, even though it provides no calories or organic nutrients. The name water typically refers to the liquid state of the compound. The solid phase is known as ice, and the gas phase is called steam. Under certain conditions, water can also form subcritical or supercritical fluids. Water is a chemical compound consisting of two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. The water molecule is electrically neutral, but the positive and negative charges are not distributed uniformly. Did you know that? The negative charge is concentrated at the oxygen end of the molecule, owing partly to the non-bonding electrons and to oxygen's higher nuclear charge, which exerts stronger attractions on the electrons. The alternative name for water is oxidane, used in chemistry as the mononuclear parent hydride to name derivatives of water. Okay? I hope you are listening closely because there will be a test. However, there's truly a time and place to discuss all those properties, and that's why we have schools and universities. They can talk about all the facts and figures about water. But to a thirsty person, they're only interested in two things. Do you have some? And are you willing to share? That's all they're really interested in. Do you have some? And are you willing to share? And as we've been in this conversation about evangelism, about what it means to give away our faith, I think that topic of evangelism, sharing with others the good news, that it can become so complicated. We can like truly just overcomplicate it. In fact, I know there have been churches, and probably in our church's history, there have been probably like, you know, seminars and week-long courses and big old manuals about how do I share my faith. And what we're talking about, and there is a time and a place for those sort of things. But what I want to infect the lives of our church family and infect me is I want to have this very simple understanding of what it means to have the living water and be willing to give it away to others. Amen? God's heart, as we've been talking about, is very simple. And that's that everyone would have an opportunity to come to know him. Scripture tells us that he is not willing that any would perish without having that saving grace and knowledge of his son, Jesus. And if he's not willing that anyone would perish and that everyone would have an opportunity to come to know him, why would he want to make that process difficult for us to participate in? So I believe that God has given a very simple plan. And we've been talking about this plan as we've been reading out of 2 Corinthians 2 through 5. So if you have your Bibles, open up to right there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 through 5. And we're going to be in the later chunk of that right now. But last week, as we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we came to see that we are a living letter. It says that Jesus himself wrote a letter on our hearts. And we describe that as being a gospel letter. Not a letter of religion, not a letter of condemnation, not a letter of death to people, pointing out all the flaws and everything that's wrong with them and how bad they are. And no, but there's this living letter that is a gospel, new covenant letter. And we're to give it away. It's to be sent out. We're a letter, not a diary. This gospel letter is not a gospel diary where it's just like these precious little things for my own heart and my own life. It's a letter. Letters are meant to be sent. Letters are meant to be read by others. So we talked last week about that importance, that there's a gospel letter that has been written in our hearts, and it's the good news. This gospel that has been given to us by Jesus is his good news. That he came to save us, to free us, and to give us forever life in him. So we become gospel people. But I want you to look at somebody next to you and say, you're a gospel person. You are a gospel person. And God's simple plan is that we would give away the gospel to others. So how do we give it away? I want to show you just this little diagram that we're going to be using just today and over the next 2 weeks as we would conclude this series. Because as we come to understand ourselves as gospel people, that we would figure out, how am I to give it away? And I believe that there are three simple things that we can learn to do to give away the gospel to the world around us. Here's just a really quick overview, and then we're going to come back and talk for a few minutes about the first one. But the first way that I believe that we're to give the gospel away is by living the gospel. That we have to live it. It has to become so much a part of our life that we like show others by the way we live that the gospel is true and real and important. So number one, we live the gospel. Why do we do that? Because we've gone from death to life. It's hard to keep a resurrected person down. they kind of stand out, right? Oh, you were dead and now you're alive? Now that's a story that I want to hear. And as we share that just out of our story, it shows people what the gospel looks like. The second thing is this. We're to connect people to the gospel, to connect them to the gospel. As we would intentionally bring people into contact with Jesus, just intentionally, like thinking about how might I get someone just in contact with Jesus. Now, notice we haven't talked about preaching or talking or doing anything. The first one is just by showing people that my life has gone from death to life. The second way, and we're going to be talking about next week, and I'm super excited for this, is about how do we connect people to the gospel. But we do both of those things, I believe, before we even get to the third, which is to share the gospel. Not in a complicated way where we have to memorize a million things and, oh my God, what if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? We're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks. That's really important. But before we ever share the gospel, I do believe that there is an order of priority here. And the first thing that we have to do is live the gospel. If we are not living the gospel, church, won't you hear me? If we are not living the gospel, there's a problem. Because everything we say will just be hollow, right? Like, what are they saying? You know, because what they're saying does not match how they are living. And so it's just hollow. There's no weight to it. There's no truth in it, right? It's just hollow. Or even worse, everything we say about Jesus to an outside world is simply unbelievable. They cannot put their faith in, or they can't believe what you're saying because they're watching how you're living. And so we need to understand that the very first way that we give away the gospel to the world around us is by living the gospel. So I want you to look at one of the scriptures there in this passage, and it's actually in chapter 5 there of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5 is starting at verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 15 through 17. I want you to see what Paul wrote in this passage. This is so good and so important about understanding this simple plan of God for us to give away the gospel to others. First, he starts with the gospel here. He says, he, Christ, died for everyone. Remember, Jesus' plan is that everyone would have an opportunity to have life in him. And so he starts out with the gospel. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely as from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. He starts that idea with the gospel, and he finishes it with the gospel. He starts by saying Christ has died for everyone. For the entire world, there's no person that is outside the power and the grace of the cross. Jesus went to the cross for everyone. Say everyone. Everyone. And then he finishes this by saying that anyone, say anyone, who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old, dead stuff is gone. A new life has begun. This morning we celebrated with Angela. She went to the waters of baptism. What does baptism signify? This very thing, that I've become a new creation. The old is gone. That's us going down into the waters, right? And then coming up out of those waters, that I have been made new. I'm a new creation in Jesus. But I want you to notice, Jesus died for everyone, but it's those anyones who belong to Christ who have been made new creations. It's available to everyone. The gospel is available to everyone. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter that that person is the worst, terrible, most evil, vile person in all of Santa Maria. The gospel is available to them. Praise the Lord. We need to be praying for those evil, broken, vile, terrible people. We'll be talking about that in a second. But it's the anyones who belong to Christ who have become new creations in him. So he begins and he ends with the gospel. But in the middle there, he talks about the difference that we should see in people's lives in those anyones who now belong to Christ. He shows the contrast here between what we used to be like and what we have now become in Christ. Now listen to these different things that he says. He says we no longer live for ourselves. If we have responded to the gospel and put our trust in Christ, and we have gone from the old to the new and become a new creation in him, guess what? It's not all about me anymore. It used to be about me, 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 me. Who's the most important? Me. Who do you love the most? Me. Who's the most important person in your family? Me. Who's the most important person at your school or work? Me. Right? It's this very self-focused way of living where my attention is on myself. Because if I don't look out for me, who's gonna? Oh, but what we come to realize through the power of the gospel, when we realize that Jesus' love for us is perfect and that he has given his life to empower our life, all of a sudden, we're now empowered to get our eyes off of ourselves and to begin to look at the world around us differently. It's no longer just about me, me, me. No, it's about Jesus. You have done everything for me, so now it's about you. Right? We no longer live for ourselves. Instead, we live for Christ. So when it used to be about all me and my goals and what I want, now it's about Jesus. What are your goals? God, I want your mission to become my mission. I want to see people now the way you see people. And that's the next difference that he gets to. He says, we used to, like, actually look at people in a very weird and different way, right? We used to evaluate others from a human point of view. But he says, I stopped that. There's a uniqueness. There's a transition that took place when I became a gospel person. I stopped evaluating people that way. See, because I used to always evaluate people through how? I mean, you know, they were either problems to be solved, right? Enemies to be conquered, or maybe objects to be used, right? I mean, that is a very human perspective on how we used to view others. They were problems, just in the way. What a nuisance. I don't like those people. They were maybe enemies that actually I had to conquer. I got to, like, step over those people if I'm ever going to, like, make it for me. Or they were objects to be used. I stopped looking at people and evaluating them through that old, dead human way, because now the power of God has come over my life. I have been set free from that. And so now when I look at people, I see them as ones whom God loves. Right? I see them differently. Even if they're very broken, even if right today they're very far from God, I can see them differently now, not through that old human perspective, but I see them the way God intended, as someone who is loved by him and who is in need of that power of the gospel as well. So I'm motivated to give the gospel away, to live the gospel by changing the way I look at people. And he says, we also used to look at Christ that way from a human perspective. How did we used to look at Christ? Do you remember what it was like when you thought about Jesus, like before you actually encountered the gospel? And you thought about Jesus as, oh, Jesus is a fairy tale, right? Oh, it's just one of those religious stories, you know? Or maybe you actually thought, oh no, he was real. He was just one of those, like, just such a kind, gentle, spiritual figure. You know, there's Buddha, and there's Gandhi, and there's Jesus, and kind of mystical, sweet, gentle souls. And maybe you just thought of him that way, a very human perspective. Or maybe you thought of him as your enemy. Because maybe you thought of him as this judge that was just ready to just like rain down fire on your life and just like cause misery and pain. And man, God hates me. And you know, man, I've done one thing wrong and there's just no mercy. There's no grace. See, those are very normal worldly ways of thinking about Jesus. And Paul is writing and he's saying, that's the way we used to think about Jesus, remember? Wasn't that long ago for some of you, he's saying. We used to think about Jesus from this worldly perspective, but no more. So I look at people different. I look at Jesus different. I even look at myself different because I realize it's not just about me. But I want to make God's goals and God's mission my goals, my mission in my life. And then he says this such amazing thing. That we, when we don't no longer look at Jesus from this earthly point of view, man, we now are transformed because we see him as our Savior, our Redeemer, and as our Lord. As our Lord, because we have become a new creation. All the old things are gone, and we have been made new. Death to life. Would you say those words? Death to life. That describes the gospel better than any other way, I believe. Because we were spiritually dead, headed to an eternity of perpetual death, and we have been invited into the life of Jesus. Right now. We don't have to wait to heaven to get it. It's about right now, how we live the gospel now, and bonus, we get eternal life with him as well. But we don't wait for eternal life. We want to live that life now, today, living the gospel. Living the gospel in our neighborhoods. Living the gospel in our homes, under our roof. Living the gospel in our places of work. Living the gospel at our schools. Everywhere that we go, that people would look at our life and go, oh, that was a dead person. And now they're alive. Weird. Yeah. In our last minutes before we come to the table and take of the bread and the cup, symbolizing Jesus' death that we might have life, I want to share with you three quick things. And actually, Peter wrote these, and they are so amazing, talking about how to live the gospel. And so if you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to show you three quick things that Peter talks about, that about living the gospel. The things that we can like sink our teeth into and chew on for a minute and really remember is this, how we live the gospel before we can ever share the gospel. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Now, go back a couple of verses. Here we go. I want you to start actually right before verse 1 of chapter 2 and go back to the very end of chapter 1, because what I want you to see is that Peter is talking also about the gospel. Here's what he says. For you have been, what? Come on, preach it. You have been born again. That's the gospel. Death to life, right? For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. So that's how he ends that first part of the letter. Now remember, when he wrote it, he didn't put in the chapter numbers and the verse numbers. So he's declaring the gospel. Remember, you've been born again. Then when we get to verse 1 of chapter 2, he says this. And that word was good, is the good news that was preached to you. So get rid of all evil behavior. Oh, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Whoa. Living the gospel. Realize he wrote this to people who were gospel people. He wrote this to people like us. People who were like, I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to like live the gospel. So he had to remind them, as you live the gospel, there's stuff that you just doesn't belong in your life anymore. Like, there are things that we've got to stop doing. Be done with these things, he says. He says, get rid of these kinds of things. Now, this isn't like a comprehensive list. I mean, we could like probably add some stuff to this list right here. Things that like represented our old, dead life. But now we've like come to life in Jesus. So he says, we need to live differently. Bottom line is this, friends. We got to stop living like our old dead self. Live the gospel. It's like we don't want our church to look like the extras from Michael Jackson's Thriller video, okay? Like, we're just like, dun, 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 dun. You know? Oh, man, that person looks dead, right? That church looks dead. We don't want to have that vibe about who we are. When people see us and they read that gospel letter in our lives, like, we don't want to pollute it with all the old stuff that makes our words either hollow or just simply unbelievable. If we're ever going to share the gospel with people, folks, there's stuff we got to just get rid of. Now, no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, because we've all got junk in the trunk, you know? There's all stuff that we've been dragging around from our old life that, like, we need to pop that trunk and say, ooh, this stinks. Let's get it out of here, right? We all do. So there's no guilt, no condemnation. It's just a realization that if I'm going to live the gospel, there's stuff that I just got to be done with in my life. Then he goes on a little bit further down in verse 9 of that same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. And he says something so profound. He says, you are a chosen people. You, gospel people, are a royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Man, if I had longer, I mean, I'd go into each one of these things because it's so, so cool. Just let me drop one little gem on you right here, okay? That first thing when he says you're royal priests. Listen, you can't choose to be royal, right? You can't all of a sudden wake up one day and you're a peasant, and then all of a sudden you go, yeah, you know what, today I think I'm just going to like put on a crown and I'm just going to go hang out with the royal family. No, 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 that is not how royalty works. What about priests? No, if you go back to the Old Testament and look about how the priestly system worked, Like if you weren't a Levite, forget about it. You might have been a really cool Benjamite or I'm of the tribe of Judah. And today I'm going to be a priest today. Oh no, 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 no. You will die if you try to put on that priestly garment and you are not part of that tribe. Very, very clear and distinct. You can't be royal by your own choosing. You cannot be a priest by your own choosing. But this is what the gospel does. The gospel says you have been chosen. You have been adopted into my family. And because of that, guess what? You are now part, adopted in to this royal family. And you get to be my priests as well. Doesn't matter what family you were born into, you are now part of this royal priesthood because I have chosen you. That's the gospel, that we've been chosen by him and we chose him as well. Look at this. So then what does he say? Because we've been chosen, he says, as a result, you can show, you can what?
Show.
Come on, you can what?
Show.
Show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Listen, he didn't say, so you can get up and preach. He said, no, he did not. It's not what he's talking about right here. He's just talking about showing the goodness of God to those around you. Listen, living the gospel needs to be observable. Totally observable. That your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, the student that sits next to you in geometry, that they can actually look at your life and see something different about you. Because you know who you are in Christ, you can now, as a result, show the goodness of God. What does that mean? It means being loving when you'd really rather take a different path. It means when that person has kind of been a jerk to you, how about forgiving them for their jerkiness rather than put a beat down on them? Because that's how we used to. Remember, with an earthly perspective, we used to evaluate people that way. But we don't anymore because of the gospel. Right? Because his mission has become my mission. So I now can show people what it looks like to be a resurrected person rather than live carrying around all that dead stuff in my life the way I used to, dude. So last thing that he says here. So there's stuff we need to get rid of, and there's stuff that we can now begin doing as a result of the gospel. We get to start showing people what this resurrected life looks like. And then he says this in verse 11 and 12. He says, "Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners," meaning this world that we're living in is not really our eternal home. We're passing through. He says, "I warn you, as people who are just passing through this world, to keep away from worldly desires that wage against your very souls." So he's kind of going back and saying, man, there's stuff, you guys, we need to stay away from in this as gospel people. He says this, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Just to like, the way you live, right? Live properly, meaning live the gospel. You've been raised from death to life. So live that way. Properly doesn't mean like weird, like religious. Well, I'm proper, right? I'm like all buttoned up and, you know, I got to wear a suit and tie everywhere I go. No, he's not talking about that kind of like weird proper. He's talking about just live the gospel. Live as someone who has gone from death to life, someone from darkness to light. Live properly. And listen to the promise. Then, when you're living that way, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. They will do what? They'll see how you are living. They will see the gospel lived out in front of them. The best message ever preached to the people around you at your school, place of work, your neighborhood, and your home is you. You are God's simple plan to rescue all of humanity. This is you. Starting before you ever open your mouth and say a word, that you will show people by the way you live, I will show people by the way I live, if the gospel is real. If the gospel is real. Live the gospel.